We're talking about mysteries today. How many of you like mysteries? Yeah, well, I got a few people. Vamos a hablar sobre los misterios hoy, hermanos. ¿Quiénes de ustedes les gustan los misterios? Libros de misterios o algo así. Yeah. Rompecabezas es un modo de misterio también, ¿verdad? No sabes cómo va a llegar, cómo va, se va a solucionar eso. There are games also that are kind of mystery-based, like puzzles, you know, and things like that. Mystery is a great thing, okay? Normally it means that something that needs to be discovered, okay? That is hidden, okay? That's hidden. The Bible is full of mysteries, especially in the New Testament. The word is used 22 times. Vamos a ver, hermano, que en la Biblia también hay muchos misterios. La palabra misterio se usa como 22 veces. Pero no tiene la misma significado que nosotros le ponemos a esa palabra. The thing about mystery in the Bible, brothers, the word mystery doesn't have the same meaning that we put on it, okay? Mystery is more like something that's always been there, and it's kind of, you know, mysterious. You don't know the answer to, or they'll get the full picture. You got to dig it out, you know, and you're not really sure if you solved it or not, you know. Esa palabra misterio para nosotros es algo que está escondido, que puedes ver parte de la cosa y que necesitas que escarbar y trabajar para solucionarlo y no sabes si todavía tienes el retrato completo, ¿verdad? Cuando llegas. But in the Bible, brothers, the word mystery is revelation that has never been mentioned before in the Old Testament, okay? But has now been revealed in the New Testament, okay, to those who are seeking God, to those who are reading the Bible, to those who know the Lord, okay? That's what the word means. Vamos a ver que la palabra misterio en el, quiere decir, hermanos, una revelación nueva que es anunciado a los santos. Una revelación que no fue mencionado en el Antiguo Testamento, pero es revelado hoy para en el Nuevo Testamento, que es para nosotros, ¿eh? Nos toca a nosotros que conocemos a Cristo. Es una revelación nueva, ¿eh? It's a new revelation, brothers. And it was given through Jesus to the apostles, which was never heard in the Old Testament. Okay? And I'll give you an example. And let me read a statement from in the New Testament. Well, leer un ejemplo en el Nuevo Testamento. Paul says this, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Okay? Pablo dice, oh, mira, les digo un misterio. Here it is. He goes, we will not all sleep. What are you talking about? He's talking about death. Okay? That's the word he uses for Christians because they don't really die, they sleep. Okay? He said, no todos dormiremos. En otras palabras, no todos moriremos. Says, but we will, what? Be changed. That's the mystery right there. We'll be changed. Yeah? Pero seremos todos transformados. Esa es la nueva revelación. Seremos transformados. He had just said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? In the body you got now, you can't get into the kingdom of God with that body. Okay? And what he's revealing right now in the new mystery is that we're going to be changed in order to get into the kingdom of God. We will all be changed. Yeah? Lo que está diciendo aquí es que carne y hueso no puede entrar al reino de Dios, no puede heredar el reino de Dios. Acaba de decir el versículo antes, 1 Corintios 15:50. 1 Corintios 15:50. No todos heredemos, el carne y hueso no puede heredar el reino de Dios, pero tenemos que ser transformados. Es la nueva revelación que no se mencionó antes. So that was never mentioned in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament it's saying, before you get in the kingdom, you got to be transformed. You got to be changed. And notice what he says next. He tells us how that's going to happen. He says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. There's the transformation. And we will be changed. If we're still alive when that happens, we're going to be transformed. And then go into the kingdom of God, okay? So that was an example of a mystery, something that had not been mentioned before, but was revealed for the first time, the necessity to be transformed. Y luego dice él, termina, dice, en un momento, en un parpadear del ojo, en la última trompeta, porque la trompeta sonará y los muertos serán resucitados y nosotros seremos transformados. Yeah. Ahí está el misterio, el nuevo, la nueva revelación. Tienes que ser transformado para entrar al reino. ¿Ya? Nunca se mencionó antes. So that's an example of a mystery, brothers. But that's not the mystery we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a different mystery. Okay? Vamos a hablar de un misterio diferente hoy. We're going to talk about the mystery of Christ in you. Of Christ in you. That was never mentioned before in the Old Testament. Vamos a hablar del misterio de Cristo en ti, en tu vida. ¿Eh? We have been learning about us being in Christ for several weeks. Okay? What does it mean to be in Christ? To have, be connected with Him, to have a relationship with Him. And all the ramifications and the blessings of all of that. Of forgiveness, of being acquitted of all sin, of being adopted and being a new creature in Christ now. Okay, the old things have passed away. But now we're going to talk about the other side of the coin. Now, not only is Christ, are we in Christ, but also Christ is in the believer. Yeah, is in the believer. Hemos estudiado, hermanos, cómo es estar en Cristo. ¿Cómo es estar? Tener una conexión con Él que en que somos salvos, perdonados, somos adoptados y somos que somos una nueva criatura en Cristo. ¿Ya? Todas las bendiciones de estar en Cristo, pero ahora no solo eso es cierto, pero también que Cristo está en nosotros, fíjate. Cristo está en nosotros, fíjate. Es lo que vamos a entender hoy. Vamos a ver aquí, como dice, cuáles son las ramificaciones si Cristo Jesús habita en nosotros. So we're going to answer the question, what are the ramifications if Christ Jesus indwells us? What can we expect? What is our responsibility then if Christ is in us? And how is that possible? Yeah? How is that possible? Let's look at the verse here. This is an introductory verse. Este es el versículo introductivo. Yeah. He says here, he says, that mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's the definition of a mystery. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Old Testament couldn't even conceive of such a thing that the Messiah would also indwell all his followers, all his people. They could never conceive. That was unheard of in the Old Testament. But now that has become true with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Jesus can be in our life. Yeah? Wherever we go, never be alone. Yeah? Dice aquí Colosenses 1:26. Dice, es decir, el misterio que ha estado oculto, dice Pablo, desde los siglos y generaciones pasadas, pero que ahora ha sido manifestado a sus santos, a quienes Dios quiso dar a conocer cuáles son las riquezas de la gloria de este misterio entre los gentiles. Nosotros, los gentiles, ¿qué es? Que Cristo, que es Cristo en vosotros, fíjate, en vosotros, la esperanza de la gloria, hermanos. The hope of glory, the hope of glory. Eso no se concibió, hermanos, en el Antiguo Testamento, que el Mesías no solo iba a venir, sí iba a venir a la tierra, iba a reinar, pero nunca se oyó que Él iba a habitar también a su pueblo. Habitar, eso no se oyó, ese es misterio, hermano, pero hoy lo sabemos porque vino el Espíritu Santo. ¿Eh? Se derramó el Espíritu Santo, el Espíritu de Cristo, y ahora Él entra al cristiano. Since the coming of the Holy Spirit, we read in Acts chapter 1, brothers, it has become possible now that the Spirit of Christ can now indwell every believer. Yeah? Every believer who chooses to follow Christ. Watch, that makes him a believer, right? If you follow Christ. And so now Christ can indwell us through the Holy Spirit. Because it's called the Spirit of Christ. Yeah? So what does that mean for us? ¿Qué quiere decir? ¿Qué significa eso para nosotros? Es lo que vamos a mirar. Three things, brother. We're going to look at three things. Tres cosas vamos a ver en los versículos que vamos a le voy a enseñar de las ramificaciones de lo que quiere decir que si Cristo vive en nosotros. The first thing, brother, is that Christ in me places him on the throne of my life. Okay? Places him on the throne of my life. Cristo en mí, hermanos, coloca a Jesús sobre el trono de mi vida. Yeah? You know what? It's if he's really going to be God in your life, only one can rule. Okay? Only one can have the final say. And God made it personal by coming into the believer and taking the throne of that person's life.
Uno, solo uno puede ser Dios, hermano. Si Dios de veras va a ser Dios en nuestra vida, Él tiene que reinar. Y Dios lo hizo personal, fíjate. Él dijo, no voy a reinar en el, a la diestra del Padre. Yo voy a venir y voy a reinar en tu corazón, en tu vida. Voy a entrar y voy a reinar en tu vida.
Notice what the word says here in Galatians 2:20. Galatas 2:20 dice aquí claramente, I have been crucified with Christ. We covered that verse last week. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There it is. Christ lives in me. Yeah. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here on earth, yeah, today, we're in the flesh again, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's a devotion there, brothers, because we recognize the significance and the sacrifice and the love that was made on that cross for you know who, okay? You know who. Yeah. Take the throne, Lord. you did that for me.
¿Ah? ¿Qué dice aquí Galatas 2:20? Dice, con Cristo he sido crucificado. ¿Eh? He sido crucificado y ya no soy yo el que vive, sino que Cristo vive en mí. Fíjate, vive en mí. ¿Eh? Y la vida que ahora vivo en la carne, aquí ahorita, este día, la vivo por fe en el Hijo de Dios. El cual que me amó, se entregó a sí mismo por mí. Es la razón por qué Cristo vive en mí. Está en el trono porque es lo que hizo por mí en la cruz, fíjate. ¿Eh? ¿Por qué no le voy a dar el trono? ¿Eh? ¿Por qué no? ¿Eh?
So, what does this signify, brothers? What does this mean? He came into my life, but there's some things that stand out here in these two verses. First of all, the self-righteous me had to die first. Okay, had to die first.
Tenemos que entender que el yo, justo en mis propios ojos, yo tenía que morir.
That's what it says here. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, I have been crucified with Christ.
Con Cristo he sido crucificado.
Yeah? There was a positional dying that took place, a spiritual dying that took place that Jesus accomplished for us. Okay.
Hubo una muerte espiritual y posicional que ocurrió cuando Cristo murió con nosotros. Es como que morimos junto con Él, fíjate.
It's like we died with Him. Why did that have to happen? Remember, brothers, we were criminals. There was a warrant out for arrest, okay? As sinners, brothers. That was the sinners. But when Jesus died, we died with Him. And so the law has no jurisdiction over us anymore, brothers, because Jesus paid the price by dying. And have you heard of a warrant out for a dead person?
No.
No need. Let's tear that up, okay? The same thing, brother. The law of God, the commandments, can no longer require our death penalty. Okay, that's the what happens when you're a sinner. There's a death penalty, eventual death penalty. But Jesus accomplished that for us. And so we died with Him. Okay. And so we're no longer afraid of the law. It has no power over us. Okay. There's no longer seeking to go before the court for that. Okay.
Tenemos que entender, hermanos, que tenemos que morir, hermanos, porque cuando somos pecadores, hay una demanda que nos está buscando. Todos los policías tienen el retrato en la computadora y ahí están buscando, ¿dónde está este vato que lo estamos, que tiene que ir a la corte? No, hermanos, pero Cristo, cuando Él murió, morimos junto con Él, fíjate. Pagó la penalidad, morimos con Él y ya no hay demanda que la ley requiere para esa persona, ya no me está buscando a mí, se rompe esa demanda porque ya estoy muerto junto con Cristo, ya nadie tiene que pagar esa penalidad, ese crimen que ocurrió, fíjate.
He sido crucificado. We've been crucified with Christ. God bless. I'm done with that. Okay. And now, brothers, Jesus lives in me.
Y ahora Jesús vive en mí. Yeah.
So death ends the lordship of self, brothers. Death ends the lordship of self. You need to understand that. Okay. Because when I was Lord, brothers, I screwed it up. And the law now was looking for me. But now no more, brothers. I'm not
I'm not going to be Lord anymore. Okay? Jesus is going to be Lord. Okay? Jesus is going to be.
Cuando yo morí, hermano, la muerte acaba con el señorío de uno mismo. Eso es cuando éramos pecadores. Ya no voy a seguir. Eso es, yo voy a ser el señor de mi vida. Ya no. Porque voy a pecar y la ley me va a buscar, ¿verdad? Voy a dejar que Jesús sea el Señor ahora en mi vida. ¿Ya? Voy a dejar que Jesús sea. Ya no soy Señor yo.
I'm no longer Lord because I've died. Okay, to that old life, brothers. And so the living Christ takes up his home in the believer's life. The living Christ.
Y cuando vienes a Cristo, hermanos, Cristo, el Cristo viviente ocupa su hogar en la vida del creyente.
How? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in. When you ask forgiveness, when you turn from your old way of life, of ruling yourself, okay, of being God in your own eyes, and you say, Lord, forgive me. I want you to be my Lord and my God, like Thomas said. My Lord and my God, he said when he saw Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence permanently and forever in the believer's life. Yeah.
Entonces, hermanos, cuando nosotros nos arrepentimos de ser Dios, de ser Señor en mi propia vida, y le pedimos a Jesús que nos perdone y que ahora Él sea mi Dios y mi Señor, como dijo Tomás, mi Dios y mi Señor, entonces viene el Espíritu Santo y toma su residencia aquí.
And that's the Spirit of Christ. Es el Espíritu de Cristo. Yeah.
Jesus knows. Yeah, he immediately knows who we are, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, everything, because his Spirit is in us.
Y en ese momento Jesús sabe todo lo que somos, ¿eh? Lo que pensamos, lo que sintemos, todo porque su Espíritu está en nosotros.
That's a wonderful relationship, brothers, to know that your Lord, your Savior is that close.
He's not just right here, he's in here.
¿Eh? Jesús no está por un lado de mí, ¿verdad?
Se me va a extraviar. No, no puede, porque está aquí, adentro. ¿Eh?
Puede estar aquí adentro.
He can be in here, brothers, if it hasn't happened yet.
The last thing, brothers, la última cosa que miramos aquí, the Christian is now empowered to live by faith in the Son of God. ¿Eh?
Cuando él entra en el cristiano, hace su hogar aquí, dice aquí que el cristiano ahora tiene el poder de vivir por la fe en el Hijo de Dios.
That's the only way, brother, that a person is able to live the Christian life is when he moves in and his power now empowers us to love
as we can, as we his way, okay?
To forgive his way, not our way, okay? Not conditional forgive, his way permanently, okay? And to do every good deed that God wants us to do. It's because he's living inside of us. Other than that, it's just human effort, and that always fails. It comes up short of God's expectations.
Pero hasta que no entre Cristo, hermano, entonces no vamos a poder perdonar como debemos, amar como Él quiere que amemos, hacer las obras y ser bueno y ser dadivoso como Él quiere hasta que su poder no entre aquí, ¿eh? Y viva en nosotros.
Como estamos cantando, ¿ya? Hay poder en Jesús, ¿verdad? Hay poder en Jesús.
There is power in Jesus' name, okay? And that's why, because he lives inside of us. Yeah? He lives inside of us.
Now, I'm not saying he's in, guaranteeing he's in your life, okay? If you haven't invited him in, we'll find out how to do that last point, okay? But he can be, yeah.
You might not know.
A lo mejor no sabes si está dentro o no, pero vas a saber en el último punto que vamos a ver. Yeah?
John 14:20 says, in that day you will know, Jesus told his disciples, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you.
He told them ahead of time before he went to the cross that they were going to know that he was in them.
Jesús le dijo de antemano, antes de ir a la cruz, le dijo al discípulo, en aquel día sabrás que yo estoy en mi Padre, yeah, y ustedes en mí, y yo en ustedes.
Y yo en ustedes.
And he goes out, he says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, our dwelling with him. Yeah? Now it's a Trinitarian indwelling. Okay? Dice, y mi Padre que los va a amar a ustedes. Y vendremos a Él y haremos nuestro hogar en Él. Haremos nuestro hogar. Juan 14, 23. Juan 14, that was John 14, 23. The promise that God would make His dwelling in us. Jesus said it ahead of time. It wasn't something, you know, that the disciples made up afterwards. Jesus had already said that, taught that. Did I get the last point? Yeah, I did. So Christians are empowered by faith in the Son of God. Now, last point, second point, brothers. What is the ramification? Okay? What is the ramification? First of all, we saw Christ in me means He takes the throne in my life. Okay? He takes up. He places Himself on the throne of my life. Miramos que Cristo primeramente, si está en mí, va a tomar el trono en mi vida. Va a tomar el trono. Él va a ser Señor. He'll be Lord. Second thing, brothers, is Christ in me is the process by which He makes Himself at home in my life. That's a little different, but I'll explain it. Okay? Si Cristo está en mí, ese también el proceso por cual Él hace su hogar en mi vida. Él hace... If you've ever been invited into somebody's home, you know, you really don't make yourself at home as a guest, yeah? You don't put your feet on the coffee table, you know? Go into the refrigerator and see what you can pull out, you know? You don't really make yourself at home, but this is what I'm talking about, okay? Jesus, when He comes in, He's like inside the doorway, but now he intends to slowly, methodically make His home in your life. Okay, Cristo, hermano, cuando Él entra en tu vida es como entrar a una casa. Tu vida es como una casa, ¿verdad? Él entra, está dentro de la puerta, sí, está dentro de la puerta, pero Él quiere hacer tu vida su hogar, ¿eh? Su hogar. And our life has many rooms inside of it. Many rooms. Yeah? Got the living room, the recreation room, the kitchen, the bedrooms, the closets, you know. The study, the finances, where we take care of finances, everything, you know, emotional area, you know, things like that. Nuestra vida tiene muchos cuartos adentro, hermanos. Y la sala, la cocina, los dormitorios, yeah, el closet, todas las áreas... y muchas áreas son privadas. A lot of those areas in our life are private, brothers. We just don't disclose that to anybody, okay? And Jesus, brothers, He's going to come in and He's going to want to start going into one room at a time, okay? Some of those rooms are going to be locked. Some of them are going to be open. Oh, yeah, Lord, come over here. Yeah, man, let's hang out here, over here. Hay unos cuartos que van a tener llave. Y otros que van a estar abiertos y Jesús va a entrar a esos primero, ¿verdad? Junto contigo y ahí va a estar. Él quiere ser Señor de cada cuarto. He wants to be Lord of every door, of every room in your life, every area. He wants to be Lord. ¿Eh? But He just doesn't come and kick doors down, brothers. That's not the Lord. That's not our shepherd. Él no viene a patear puertas. Él viene y te pide si puedes abrir la puerta. ¿Eh? Que abras la puerta. Now, let's look at the prayer. Let's look at the verse. Okay, what does it say? I, Paul, pray. You say, verse 16. It says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. There it is, in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That means to make a home. So Christ may dwell in your hearts. Through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, I want to stop there. Dice Pablo, yo oro que os conceda conforme a las riquezas de su gloria ser fortalecidos con qué poder por su espíritu en el hombre interior, de manera que Cristo more por la fe en vuestros corazones. Ahí está. Esa palabra morar es hacer un hogar, es hacerse como casa. Cómodo. Eso quiere el significado de esto, de que Cristo more por la fe en vuestros corazones y que arraigados y cimentados en amor, dice, es la manera, lo que está haciendo Jesús, metiendo el amor en todas las áreas. So, one thing that stands out in these verses, brothers, first of all, that prayer, he's praying for you. Prayer can accelerate Christ's transformation of the believer. Yeah. Paul said, I want them to know what I'm praying for them. Okay? And he tells us. Yeah, he tells us. La oración, miramos aquí, que acelera la transformación del creyente. Yeah. La aceleración. What, praying what? Lord, come into my life and make your home in here. Lord, settle yourself in here, Lord, and move things around. Clean out areas of my life. Bring in new things, Lord. Just make this your home. Praying that, brothers, accelerates your love for God, your relationship with the Lord, your maturity. Y debemos de orar esto, hermano, porque él está diciendo, yo oro, que oro, que nosotros, hermanos, que Cristo se mueva aquí y haga su hogar. Ese cuarto está bien sucio. Y él, vamos aquí a limpiar esto, dice Jesús. So some rooms need to be cleaned out, bro. They're a pigsty. You ever been, you know, you try to keep a home really clean. When you got kids, you know, there's some rooms that are just like a pigsty, you know. You tell them that. And it needs to be cleaned out. Jesus will come in and say, hey, this is a pigsty. Let me help you clean this out. Okay? Because he wants to make his home in us. Yeah? So, so accelerates growth, brothers. And it doesn't matter who's praying. It could be you the one who's praying this, which is even better. Yeah? Don't wait for somebody to pray for you, to Jesus to come in and be strengthened with power, and that Jesus make his home in you by moving things around. You pray that. You pray that. And then you can pray that for others when you see how well that works. No importa quién está orando esto, hermanos. No tiene que ser Pablo, no tiene que ser el pastor o el maestro. Tú puedes orar y pedirle a Dios, Señor, mueve. Ya que estás adentro, Señor, cambia estos cuartos. Límpialos, Señor, estas áreas de mi vida. Si hay un cuarto que tiene candado, Señor, eso no es bueno. Señor, dime qué cuarto tiene candado y yo te dejo entrar. ¿Ah? Sí. Por eso muchas veces no crecemos, porque tenemos los cuartos cerrados a que Cristo tenga su control. A lot of times Christians don't grow, brothers. They don't grow because we have a lot of locked rooms and we don't let the Lord into those areas. We don't let him in. Oh, that's private. No, that's too hurtful. No, I don't want to go back there. I don't want anybody. I'm too embarrassed. No, keep it locked. Yeah. So Christ dwelling in our hearts is the means by which we undergo continual change. Okay. That's called sanctification in the Bible. Okay. Continual change. You weren't perfected when you came to Christ. It's a day-to-day growth, okay? And he's doing it inside of us, from the inside out. Cristo en mí y corazón es el medio por cual tenemos un cambio continuo. ¿Eh? Si él está en mí, es como va a empezar el cambio. Si no lo ha invitado a que entre a mi vida, no va a haber cambio. ¿Eh? Pero ahí es donde empiezan las cosas, hermanos. Y... So he doesn't want to be a guest. He wants to be the owner, okay? He wants to be the owner of this home, okay, in your heart. That's what it means to be Lord, yeah? He's the owner. Cuando Cristo entra, hermano, quiere decir que él no quiere ser un invitado. Él quiere ser el dueño, yeah? El dueño de ese corazón, de esa vida. Yeah? Is Jesus owner of your heart? Does he own your heart? Yeah. That's a good thing to think about. Because then if you don't ever ask that question, you'll never make a choice to say yes or no. So, see, also, Jesus is not at home in the believer until he transforms it into his home. Okay? Vamos a ver, hermano, que Jesús no se siente cómodo, no puede hacerse su hogar en el creyente hasta que no lo transforme en su hogar, hasta que no lo transforme él en su hogar, desde adentro. Puede que él viva adentro, pero no se siente todavía cómodo, ¿eh? Todavía no tiene acceso a toda tu vida, ¿ya?
we may invite him into our life, and but you know what? He says, "Well, I want to sit down and use the TV. I want to control the remote control. Huh? I want to see your DVD collections."
Jesús, hermano, cuando él entra, él quiere entrar y él dice, yo quiero usar tu televisión, dame el control remoto. Yo quiero tener control del remoto. Yo quiero ver tus DVDs que tienes, la colecta. Quiero ver qué es lo que traes, qué valoras.
What does this R mean in this DVD? ¿Qué quiere decir esta R en este DVD? ¿Qué quiere decir?
You know what I mean? You imagine Jesus coming into your house and really doing that?
Imagínate que Jesús entre a tu, de veras venga a tu casa y empieza a ver tus DVDs y dice, ¿para qué es esta? ¿Por qué ves?
Yeah. So he wants to use that. That's the kind of God he is, okay?
And so I want to see your library. Quiero ver tu librería, tu biblioteca. La material que lees, I want to see what your reading materials are. Okay.
I want to go in the kitchen. You can enter a tu cocina.
Imagine he opens the refrigerator. Hey, what's in here?
Yeah, imagine él abre la refrigeradora y entra y está viendo adentro.
Hey, what's those dark bottles behind the
milk? Okay. What are those for?
¿Qué son las botellas oscuras que están atrás de la leche?
¿Eh? La coca.
He reaches in there and says, what is this?
¿Eh? What do you need this for? ¿Para qué necesitas esto?
Oh, I need to relax when I come home from work. Okay?
It helps me relax.
Me ayuda a relajarme cuando vengo del trabajo.
Well, don't I give you peace? Don't I give you a nice family and my blessings?
Yeah. Do you have worries?
You know, cast all your anxieties to the Lord in prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
This works better than that.
Yeah. They say, ay, me gusta relajar. Ah, pues que no te ha dado paz, que no te ha dado mi amor, mi protección.
Tienes ansiedades que no te dije que llévalo a todo a Dios en oración y súplica, y la paz de Cristo te protegerá tu corazón. ¿Qué no dije? ¿Esto trabaja mejor que eso?
Well, it tastes good. I like the taste.
Ah, me gusta como el sabor.
Oh, you like the taste.
Well, let me see.
You lie.
Mentiroso.
You imagine the Lord, okay? The conversation.
He's going to move in. Okay? He wants to move into every of his life, and then and he's going to bring his things in there. Okay? His things in there.
He wants to go into the bedroom and clean out the closets, okay?
Él quiere entrar a la recámara y limpiar los closets, las cosas que están ahí adentro.
He's going to look at the posters, okay, in your room.
Va a mirar todo lo que está pintado y en tus paredes. Y va a decir, mira qué bonito. ¿Y esto para qué es?
Yeah, look at that one. That one's really nice. Well, what's this for? You know?
And so that's the Lord. Ese es el Señor.
¿Eh? He wants to go into your computer. Dig through your files.
Quiere entrar a tu computadora, mirar lo que traes ahí en la computadora.
Why is this door closed? It's got a lock.
What's in here?
¿Eh? Y esta puerta está cerrada, tiene el candado, ¿por qué?
¿Eh?
That's where all my hurts are, Lord. There's a broken heart in that room.
Hay un corazón quebrantado adentro, Señor, que tengo ahí.
Why he closed it?
Because I don't trust anybody.
¿Por qué está cerrado? Porque no tengo confianza en nadie.
Todos me han dañado. Me han traicionado. Por eso tengo eso cerrado, ese corazón. No lo abro a nadie.
Déjame sanarte.
Let me heal you. Let me heal you. Let me in.
And I will heal your heart.
I will heal those hurtful memories.
that are in there. Esas memorias de mucho dolor, yo te voy a sanar. Yeah. He wants to make himself at home and Lord of every area of our life. Que seas dueño de toda, Señor de toda área de mi vida. Yeah. Do you have a locked room? ¿Tienes unos cuartos cerrados? He's been knocking, but you say, you haven't opened it yet. You're not ready. But he loves you. Believe it or not, he knows what's in there. He already knows what's in there. Ya él ya sabe lo que está en el cuarto. No tienes que. Ya sabe. Pero él quiere que lo dejes entrar. Fíjate. Quiere entrar él. He wants to make himself a home in your life. Because he's in your life. Quiere hacerse cómodo en tu vida y señor de cada cuarto. ¿Eh? Last point, brothers. Last point here. Christ in me assures me of my salvation. This is a doctrinal issue. Yeah? Promises that God has given us. Cristo en mí me asegura de mi salvación. Yeah. A lot of people are not sure. Okay, the day they die, they're not 100% sure that they're going to enter into glory, into open arms. They're not too sure. Okay, but this can settle the matter. Los que no saben están seguros que van a entrar al cielo inmediatamente después de morir, que van a entrar a los brazos de Cristo. No están seguros, tienen temor. Y fíjate, pero este tema, hermano, puede hacer cambiar todo esto. Let's look at what the word says. Vamos a ver lo que dice la palabra. Test yourselves, Paul says. Test yourself. In what? To see if you are in the faith. What faith? The saving faith, brothers, the one that where you find forgiveness and eternal life. Okay? Test yourself, see if you're in the faith. Dice aquí, poneos en prueba para ver si estáis en la fe, hermanos. ¿Cuál fe? La fe verdadera. La fe verdadera, la que salva, la que perdona, la que da vida eterna. There are many faiths out there, brothers. Many religions. Many sects. Well, S-E-C-T, okay? Muchas sectas y todo eso, hermano. Muchas religiones en este mundo. ¿Cuál es la verdadera? Which is the real one? Continue reading. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you fail the test. Unless you fail the test. It says, examinaos a vosotros mismos, o no reconocéis a vosotros mismos que Jesucristo está en vosotros. A menos de que, en verdad, no paséis la prueba. Esa es la prueba. You know, a lot of people make up jokes about coming to the pearly gates, right? And Peter asks a question, you know, to see if you can get in. Right? You got to answer correctly. Okay? There's been a lot of jokes about that. Ha habido muchos chistes de gente de que cuando mueren vienen a las puertas de perlas, como dice, del cielo. ¿Eh? Y ahí está Pedro, ¿eh? Parado. Y Pedro hace una pregunta para ver si vamos a contestar correctamente, para si vamos a entrar o no. ¿Verdad? If that were true, brothers, if that was the true situation, you know what he would ask? Where is Jesus? Si eso fuera cierto, él haría esta pregunta. ¿Dónde está Jesús? And the answer would be, in my heart. En mi corazón. Yeah. Ahí es donde está. Yeah. That would be it, brothers. That's the test that Paul is talking about right here. Esa es la prueba que Pablo está hablando aquí. Yeah. Que Cristo tiene que estar en tu corazón. Tiene que estar en tu vida. Jesus has to be in your heart, in your life. That is the answer to the question and the test, brothers, that we will face. So, understand, God wants us to examine ourselves if we are truly saved from the judgment to come. Yeah, that's the test right there. Is Jesus in your heart? Tenemos que ver, hermanos, que si Dios quiere que nos examinemos si realmente somos salvos. ¿Y cómo? Si Jesús está habitando en mi corazón. Si está habitando, si no está habitando en mi corazón, hermano, no estoy salvo. See, I like this saying, self-deception is the leading killer of religious people. Yeah. Self-deception is the leading killer of religious people. Tenemos que entender que el autoengaño es el matador mayor de la gente religiosa. De la gente religiosa. There are there are probably more religious people in the world than non-religious. Okay? But if they're self-deceived, brothers, and they assume that their way is the only way because that's what they always known and what was passed down by mom and dad, and that's self-deception, brothers. You have to test that faith. Tienes que poner a prueba esa fe, hermanos. No simplemente porque creciste en esa fe quiere decir que es la real que te va a salvar. And many people don't put their faith to the test. That's the reason. As long as they're sincere, God will accept whatever religion one has or one is practicing. Oh, no importa, no le importa a Dios qué religión tengas, pero tienes que ser honesto y sincero en lo que estás practicando. Yeah. Well, we're going to look at what the word says. Vamos a ver lo que dice la palabra. Accepting Jesus into our life is the only means of salvation, brothers. I'll give you the proof in a minute. Aceptar a Jesucristo en nuestra vida es el único medio de la salvación. And these are wonderful verses, brothers. I love this. Looking at John 1, it is what makes us a child of God. Let's see what it says there. It says here, he came to his own. He's talking about what Jesus did. He came to his own. Who are his own? Religious people. And it was the Jews, especially. He came to his own, religious people. And those who were his own, supposed to be his own, did not receive him. In fact, they crucified him. Okay? They did not receive him. El primer verso dice aquí, a los suyos. ¿Quiénes son los suyos? La gente religiosa que debían de ser los suyos. Y a los suyos vino y los que eran suyos no lo recibieron. No lo recibieron, pero lo crucificaron. Fíjate. La gente religiosa. So these were the religious people. Verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, there it is, brothers, there's the key into their life, into their heart. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name. And what happens to them who were born, reborn, in other words, born again, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It says, it was God who did it. God initiated it. Dice muy claramente aquí, versículo 2, pero a todos los que le recibieron, ahí está en su vida, su corazón, les dio el derecho de llegar a ser hijos de Dios. Y decir, es decir, a los que le recibieron, creed en su nombre, que nacieron no de sangre, ni de la voluntad de la carne, ni de la voluntad del hombre, sino de Dios. Dios era la voluntad de Dios, hermanos, de traer a Cristo a nuestra vida. Yeah. So this is what makes us a child of God. So a lot of people say, we're all children of God by creation, but not spiritually, which is really what matters. Yeah. Muchos dicen, todos somos hijos de Dios, por medio de la creación, claramente, ¿verdad? Pero no espiritualmente. And that's the important, es la parte importante. Now, the second part, brothers, is that it initiates our relationship with Christ. That's when you start to have relationship with God, as a child of God. Inicia nuestra relación con Cristo, cuando Él entra en tu vida. Mira lo que dice la palabra. Notice what it says here. This is a great verse. Jesus says, this is what Jesus says to certain churches. He says, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Dine was the most intimate form of a relationship when you have somebody over and spend 2-3 hours talking, eating, and laughing. And that's what he means, a relationship. I will have a relationship with you if you open the door. Me dice aquí la palabra, he aquí, estoy a la puerta y llamo. Toco, puede decir, si alguno oye mi voz y abre la puerta, entraré a él, fíjate, en él, podemos decir, y cenaré con él y él conmigo. Cenar es la, está hablando de un tiempo íntimo, de una relación íntima, 2-3 horas en ese tiempo, comían en la tarde juntos, ¿verdad? Y Dios quiere tener una relación con nosotros permanente. Initiates. Have you initiated a relationship by opening the door of your heart?
¿Has iniciado una relación con Cristo abriendo la puerta de tu corazón?
Es lo que podemos hacer hoy.
We can do that today. Okay.
We're gonna pray some things, okay?
Now you don't have to pray. You might not need to pray any of these or all of them, but you got to pray something. Okay? Talk to God about something.
Vamos a orar, hermanos, y algunas de estas oraciones van a ser de usted. Le va a pertenecer a caer a usted.
Here's a question. Will you verify this morning whether you will have a faith that will save you?
Ask the Lord. Lord, are you in my heart?
Are you in my heart?
Verifica esta mañana si tienes una fe que lo salvará.
¿Cómo?
Pídele al Señor. Dime, Señor, si estás en mi corazón o no.
Si te ha dejado que entres en mi corazón.
You won't know the truth. Vas a conocer la verdad.
Yeah.
So, I'd like you to do that. I'd like you to do that.
Yeah.
Number two. Will you ask Jesus Christ to take the throne of your life?
Control is the word.
Scary for most people to have somebody else take control.
But only he's the only one qualified and worthy to do it.
Okay? No one else.
Haz la pregunta. ¿Le pedirás a Jesucristo que tome el trono de tu vida?
Yeah.
Y para muchos es temoroso que alguien, otra persona, tome control de mi vida. Pero solamente Él es digno de que lo haga.
Y el último es este.
Will you allow Christ to have access and control over whatever area in your life?
¿Permitirás a Cristo que tenga acceso y control sobre cualquier área en tu, que Él quiera?
Él te va a decir.
Yeah.
If you have any locked rooms, He's already knocking on one or two, because that's the next one He wants to move into and change your life.
Si hay cuartos cerrados con candado, Él ya está tocando en ese cuarto y quiere Él moverse adentro y cambiar esa área de nuestra vida.
¿Eh?
Él viene a traer cambio bueno. Cambio bueno.
Let's all stand, brothers. We're going to pray.
Vamos a ponernos de pie. Vamos a orar.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and the truth that you need to move into our hearts and into our life so that we can become children of God.
Gracias, Señor, por acordarnos que tú tienes que moverte en nuestro corazón para que seamos hechos hijos de Dios y podamos entrar al cielo.
Gracias, Señor, que nos has revelado esto.
And Lord, we know that you need to sit on the throne of our life to be our King, our God, and our Lord. We open up now, Lord, our heart. And we're willing and we want to trust you, Lord. We want to experience the forgiveness that we need and the cleansing to become a new creature in Christ.
Lord, take that throne.
Señor, pedimos ahorita, Señor, que tomes ese trono. Ese trono, Señor, donde nosotros hacemos un montón de desastres, Señor. Que ahora tú te sientes ahí y reina sobre mí. Reina sobre esta vida, Señor. Para que pueda servirte a ti, Señor, con poder.
And Father, also, that area in my life, Lord, that I have not let you in or have control over, you need to make yourself at home there.
I know.
Lord, will you show me what area that is? And may we, Lord, open that door and let you have your way. Let your word have its way in that area in our life.
Y ese cuarto cerrado, Señor, también te lo tenemos que abrir. Tienes que entrar tú, Señor, y arreglarlo, sanarlo, limpiarlo, Señor. Entra, Señor, en cualquier área, esa área donde te hemos hecho fuera. Entra, Señor, y sáname. Sáname, Señor. Transfórmame para tu gloria.
Thank you, Lord, for hearing us.
Thank you for living inside of us and loving us. Knowing we can trust you, Lord, Be patient, Lord. Be patient as you move through every room.
Ahora gracias, Señor, que estás en nuestra vida y que tú reinas. Y gracias, Señor, que tú, todo cuarto va a ser tuyo, Señor. Todo cuarto va a ser arreglado para tu gloria. And we pray this in Jesus' name. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén.